How do you deal with an adversary? I know, a civilization will die tonight. Is that the answer? What about giving billions to your adversary? Cash payments in 2016. I don't know. Or what about giving your adversary the important land that was given to you by God the Father? The one thing I guarantee is man does not know how to rule himself. So should we now prepare for war? Today is the last day of unleavened bread. We put sin out of our lives for a week symbolically. Wow, it's not easy. There's leavening everywhere. Today we will look at what a gate is and look at how important it is to not give your spiritual gate to your enemy. I know that sounds really foolish. Why on earth would you give your enemy your gate? Well, what is a gate? Although the Bible does not specifically mention the Strait of Hormuz, it does address the importance of such choke points and their association with the modern descendants of Israel. One of the birthright blessings God promised Abraham's descendants was possessing the gate of their enemies. That's Genesis 22:17. And then the blessing of Rebekah, the family says in Genesis 24:16, and may the gate be yours, the gate of your adversary. A gate represents a strategic passage point. In modern geopolitical terms, gates are often referred to as choke points. There are over 20 recognized maritime choke points in the world, including the Strait of Hormuz, the Strait of Malacca, Suez Canal, Panama Canal, and the Strait of Gibraltar. I think we've heard of most of these. At the peak of the power, the British Empire and the United States controlled virtually all of them, just as God had promised thousands of years earlier. Britain controlled the Strait of Hormuz for 150 years, but then gave it away. Why? The birthright promise made to Abraham, they were conditional, dependent upon obedience to God's laws. Disobedience of his laws would result in the removal of these blessings. Today, I do not lie to you because the thought of lying does not enter my mind. The law of God is written on my heart, right? I don't even think of it because I've trained myself not to do it. But both Great Britain and the United States, the chief recipients of those birthright blessings, have gradually strayed away from basic morality that God told them what to do. The consequences of their descent into immorality has been a gradual weakening of their powers and a removal of God's blessings. So it's not a surprise that some of the leaders of these nations have essentially given up and given away the gate of their enemies. Britain gave up control of the Suez Canal in 1956. They gave up the Strait of Malacca in 1957 and the Strait of Hormuz in 1971. And the United States gave up the Panama Canal in 1999. Today, Britain and the United States are increasingly finding themselves at the mercy of their adversaries rather than possessing the gates of their geopolitical enemies. But do you control the gate of your enemy? Are you at war? Am I at war? How is this applicable to you and me today? The most strategic way to overcome someone is to take over their mind. Convince them that evil, it's not that evil. Good, that's not really good. Or how about I just confuse you? Fellow soldiers, here's the point. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who and present and low and am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, this is Corinth. It is 1,857 feet high, and it overlooks the ancient Corinth. On top of it was a fortress. Paul used this imagery to illustrate the spiritual warfare he waged. He destroyed strongholds, cast down towers, and took captives. The fortress, towers, and captives represents the arguments, thoughts, and plans that Paul opposed. Paul cast down all rationalizations. He took captive to the obedience of Christ every perception and intention of the heart that wars against God. Our actions reveal our thoughts. I was in a meeting the other day. I've said this before, but what you think, sometimes it slips out. So they said something I strongly disagreed with, and my face just immediately went into that mockatory, "You're right," and boom, there it happened. They stopped the meeting. Hey, Watts, everything okay? I could not hide it, conceal it. That face, just whatever the emotion that popped into my head, it came straight out of to my face. So we should not cling to thoughts that do not conform to the life and teachings of Jesus the Christ. My study Bible that I have here, it says the same thing. Of course, right next to it says Happy Easter. So you have to discern the Bible study Bibles. But the world does not know, but you do. So, are you at war? You better believe you are. You must always fight to control your thoughts. The answer to controlling your thoughts is to meditate on God. Think of God day and night. Literally, when you're laying in bed in the morning, you need to train yourself to think of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you go to bed at night, think of God. You know what that does? It keeps your mind preoccupied before it takes off down that rabbit hole of something that's very evil. When the thought is evil, tell Satan, as James 4, verse 7 says, don't turn there, but James 4, 7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. These are all action verbs. Submit, resist, draw, flee. Our God is a God of action. Seek first the kingdom of God. Kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking. My life on this earth is to be in the kingdom. Everything else is secondary, treasury, or down the line. Kingdom thinking. That is the most important thought that we can dwell on. It is possible to train your thoughts. It is possible to overcome. I, myself, am a great example of changing. You see, you guys don't know that because only my thoughts are in my head, other than my facial expressions. But my thoughts have come under captivity substantially more now than a year ago. Spiritual growth. And I am so excited. The intensity is finally ramping up towards God, our Father. You know, my workplace made a little change a few weeks ago. But guess what? It's a big deal to me. I don't like it. And I have something called obsessive compulsive disorder, self-diagnosed. I can't stop thinking about it. I am not happy with it. I've ran probably 2,000 or 3,000 scenarios through my head. If this happens, I'm going to do this. If that happens, I'm going to do this. None of it leads to anything productive except me conquering someone. So in my head, I battle with this. It's an example. But there is a solution, a wonderful solution. And that's on the second page. I must call upon God to take captive these thoughts and to rest my mind. Ask God for peace. I want peace. When God grants me that peace, my entire body takes a big breath. Finally. And it is a wonderful feeling. It's one of the best feelings I've ever had. God's way is a peaceful way, even though the world around us, it's on fire. Evil spews from everywhere. I am a total headline guy. I read headlines. I don't read the articles. I just read the headlines. I can go through 50, 100, 200 headlines in a day. So when I talk, I'm a one-hit wonder. I know what the subject is, but don't ask me anything below it. That's because this is just evil. Every headline is just pure evil. So you can't think of that. So what are you supposed to think? What are you supposed to do? We all know we are to meditate on God the Father, right? So today, in conclusion, we will read Philippians 4, verse 8. You see this on plaques everywhere. You see this quoted everywhere. But the world does not know it. You and me know it. Philippians, back just a few. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.